Hey, I'm Veronica.
Hey, I'm Casey, and we are so excited that you are here with us on the Thriving Mompreneurs podcast.
Yes, motherhood comes with so many different stages, and each stage looks a little different than the one before. Here, you will find perspectives, tools, and advice on a mama in the toddler stages and in the teenage stages and anything in between. So if you can relate to either of those, you are in for a treat.
Are you a professional multitasker? Well, turns out it is possible, and we are experts at juggling all the things. Do you find yourself waiting for this mom and business thing to get better? Are you ready to start feeling excited for every day? What would you be able to do if you were energized and present in your home and in your business?
We have been there too. Mom guilt, the mental load, exhaustion, you name it, we've been there. And the truth is, being a mompreneur is hard work, and that's okay. It wasn't until we started working on ourselves from the inside out that we started to see major shifts in our lives. You can thrive in every stage of motherhood and business, and we are going to do it together.
Each week on this podcast, you will learn how to turn your mind and body into your greatest asset. You will feel seen and heard, getting to know other hardworking mompreneurs, and you will get tangible tools on how to implement changes immediately to create harmony in your mind, body, business, and home. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Thriving Mompreneurs. What does it mean to have a healthy home? You can definitely get lost in the weeds on this topic, as I personally have done. So today, Veronica and I wanted to break down some really easy things you can shift to begin to feel your best in your home, which will spill over into all the other areas of your life, including your work and your relationships.
Yes, but first, we want to welcome you to join us in our free community, the Thriving Mompreneurs, where you can stay connected with us and meet more women doing what you're doing. So hop over to the link in the show notes to join us and make sure to share the group with your business bestie.
Awesome. You know, we know that it can be overwhelming when you're, you know, you're sort of hearing all the things that you feel like you need to change right now for your health. It's, you're getting it from the news, you're getting it from podcasts and conversations with your girlfriends over coffee. But we're here to tell you today, Rome wasn't built in a day. And the one thing that you need for success, consistency. We're going to share the best places to focus to get yourself moving in the right direction for health. So how do you want to start, Veronica? I know this is like something that you've thought a lot about. I have as well, but I know you probably have something top of mind.
Sure. I would love to say I do, but I'm like trying to get all my thoughts together because I'm like, man, this journey has been a wild ride. When I first started the whole like healthy home, Botox, all the stuff, I was on a rampage.
Yeah.
I threw everything out. I was like, we're done. We're moving on. And then obviously I feel like my like stress went up and my health went down anyways. So there's definitely a way to like balance everything. And so we are going to go off of the checklist that I made years ago of just like little things that you can do. And then a lot of things you might already be doing. And that was kind of the intention of this checklist is to be like, wow, I'm actually doing a few things already. And so this section is just like a simple start to healthy living. And it starts, I literally did this on purpose. It starts with just like leaving your shoes at the door. Because I think that we can sometimes forget that the biggest impact we can make in our lives is the smallest little actions, in our home.
Yeah. I think that's a really great place to start. I think when I talk about consistency, the reason I end up landing there most of the time is because when you do, like what you're talking about. And I have done the same thing, just to be clear. When I first learned about certain toxins that I was bringing into the home, I literally threw everything in the pantry out and my husband was so annoyed. And, you know, now, truth be told, some of those things have made it back into my house, right? Because it's hard to be consistent when you're trying to be perfect. So that's not really what we're looking for here. We're looking for like small things that you can begin to do that are going to begin to chip away at the stuff that you're doing. And I think leaving your shoes at the door is a really interesting point because it's something that people don't think about. And there are two reasons, in my opinion, to leave your shoes at the door. We do this also. And number one, you know, you're not tracking in the dirt and the grime and the toxins from outside of your home, inside of your home, into your clean space. You know, you're spending all weekend or whatever, whenever you do your cleaning, you know, cleaning the floors and you're bringing in all this gross stuff that if you have kids, they're then tracking everywhere. But the other part that you, I think it's easy to forget can be, it's those little motions, those little things that you do that create a line. And by taking my shoes off at the door, I'm leaving everything that I was doing prior to that time outside. Yeah, I mean, I'm not always successful, truth be told, but it does give you that nice like break in your day, just like, you know, the commute home, if you listen to certain music or you know, if you're coming home from work or you do something that takes you from work mode to home mode, this is kind of that same idea where like you take your shoes off. It's like, I'm leaving whatever I was just happening before I, you know, came here outside. So I think that's like a twofer, you know?
Yeah, I have actually never thought of it that way. And I love that because I actually do. I coach women on like how to like trying to switching their brains off with some sort of ritual of like, okay, I'm putting my pens back in my, you know, basket, or I'm shutting my laptop. But the simple action of leaving your shoes out the door not only improves your air quality in your home, but also kind of can be that transition for your brain of like, okay, I'm stepping into my house and leaving whatever happened out there. I love that. I really do.
Oh, great. Well, I'm glad that I shared something that was really, hopefully somebody else, if you find that helpful, leave us a comment, leave us a review, jump in the Facebook group. Cause I'd love to hear what other people are doing for those types of like small, consistent, you know, movements for them. One of the other things that we do, and I know we've talked a little bit about this here on the podcast before, is around your like sort of phone etiquette. And so for us, I'm not as good about this sometimes. So it's definitely a work in progress for me, but certain things that are like non-negotiables in our house is there are no phones at the dinner table. Dinner table is a place for conversation. We eat together as many nights as possible. Even when, you know, our schedules don't interact and my husband or I are working, the kids and my husband eat together. So just phone etiquette around whatever little structure you can make for yourself. Is it that you don't take your phone on your walk? Is it that you, you know, put it on airplane mode overnight so you're not getting alerts? Do you turn off all the notifications? That's huge. I do that. I get very few notifications on my phone. How about yourself?
Yes. So looking at the checklist I made, I actually don't disconnect my Wi-Fi anymore, mostly because my family wanted to kill me when I did that.
Yeah. No one was on board when I tried to do that.
I was the same. If you can make that work, that is great. But now our phone etiquette, we need to be better about phones at the table. Sometimes we're just kind of like in passing and we just need to get better at table time in general. But we try to keep phones out of the bedroom. And sometimes I sneak my phone in there and my husband has to lovingly remind me like, hey, this was your idea. Okay. but we keep our chargers actually in our kitchen. And so for sure, by the time it's like, okay, it's bedtime. If I don't want a dead phone tomorrow, I'm going to have to walk out to the kitchen and plug it in. That's definitely been a really good way to also not wake up in the morning and look at your phone, which was really like a habit that I was pretty bad at. You at least have to like do a little bit of a morning routine before you go out to the kitchen and grab your phone again. And so it just is kind of like a barrier to starting your day off with screen time. That's kind of our biggest thing is just leaving our phone and charging in the kitchen at night.
Yeah, we do that with our kids. My husband and I actually are less good about it, but for a different reason. But our kids, I have teenagers, as I've shared, and they are not allowed to have their phones in their rooms at night or iPads or anything electronic really that's charging. I really don't want the Wi-Fi like in their rooms. As I said, I would turn it off completely, but no one is on board with that. And we don't have a home phone. So then everyone worries about, you know, what happens if something terrible happens. I still use my phone as an alarm, which is not the most ideal situation. But my husband and I both get up at really early hours for work, not on the same days. So we're always trying not to wake the other one up when somebody has to get up at 4:30. So unfortunately we still do that because it's less of a big deal. My alarm actually is like little birds chirping. It's very quiet and it doesn't wake him up. That being said, the goal would be to go back to a regular alarm clock, and they do make something called a wake light. is that's an what option. We have. Oh, you do? Oh, yeah. They're great. As far as like it wakes you up slowly. My alarm actually does that as well on my phone. It starts really quiet. And I chose birds chirping because it's a bit like it's not jarring and it slowly ramps up the volume until you wait, you know, wake up and turn it off. Yeah. So similar concept to the wake light where the light in the room gets lighter and lighter until it wakes you up like more naturally.
Yeah. That was a big thing that we got because we had gotten some alarm clocks in this process of getting your phones out of the room and they were the worst.
Yeah.
We were like waking up in a panic because I swear it sounded like an alarm going off, but now we have the wake light. And so we still have it on separate times. So I sleep closer to it. And so I usually am the one waking up earlier before my husband.
Yeah.
And then this particular clock has an ability to like have two alarm settings. Awesome. So that's just kind of how we make it work. Yeah. So, but yeah, I also know like I had one mom say like her baby monitor is her phone. And so there's different obstacles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, our phones are pretty important nowadays. But anything, even just like putting your phone across the room can make a big difference.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, you know, you can get in the weeds on it for sure, as we've talked about multiple times here. But like the idea that we're trying to convey with this checklist specifically is number one, you're doing things that are good for you already, right? Somebody already might be taking their shoes off. And number two, there are maybe some things you hadn't thought about, but you have to make them work for you. If it's gonna like kill your whole life, like that's not the point. It's just you're just gonna be all stressed out, which is gonna make your health worse anyway. So picking the things that you can do. And you know, for me, I know that when my husband and I retire, or when he retires from the fire department, that will be the thing where like I can then go back to not having the phone and not having the separate alarms, because he won't be getting up early and he can go back to sleep, but I can't generally, which has been the problem over the years, is once I had kids, I had a hard time going back to sleep when he got up at 4:30.
Yeah.
And that made me not a very nice person. So
we definitely all need sleep. So moving on to kind of the next couple of topics here, we have either movement or we have grocery shopping. So what do you feel is our next move?
So I focus a lot on movement with clients. So let's talk about that briefly. And by movement, I want to be really clear that I'm not talking about running marathons. If you do that, that's cool if you're at that place, but I'm not. I don't enjoy, I used to be a runner. I don't enjoy running anymore. It hurts my body. My body's like not impressed with running. So you have to find something that works for you. You know, I have recently rediscovered a love of hiking. And I, you know, am also wrapping my mind around the fact that the word hiking doesn't have to mean climbing a mountain and being on a rocky cliff. It can also be, you know, a 3-mile walk outside, like in the woods. It's like, so just wrapping my brain around movement is movement and the consistency of movement in any form. If you like dancing, dance. If you like, you know, weightlifting, do that. You can get, again, I say in the weeds a lot. So, you know, you can get in the weeds on like trying to make the perfect movement regime or whatever. And that is just not what we're talking about. We're just saying, you know, what can you do consistently? Where's a little thing? Like what little thing do you do every day that you like can, it was just like a shift that you made and you think, and now you do it every day and you know what I mean? And it's just a little bit of extra movement.
Yeah, I think probably either taking my dogs outside because we live in a split level, so we have to walk all the way down the stairs. And then I kind of just like walk outside with them a little bit or checking the mail. Like it literally is not like I'm finally getting back into an exercise routine, which feels good. But for the longest time with littles, you just kind of move your body or like parking further from the store.
Yeah.
And not trying to pick the closest spot, you know, whatever. So like little things like that are probably my main things of like when I'm feeling just like bleh, and like I need to get more movement. Well, that's a lie. When I started this movement journey, because yeah, same. I think we both come from pretty intense workout routines in the past. And so it kind of feels silly at first when you're like, I just took my dogs outside to the backyard and that was my movement for the morning. But seriously, I mean, if you think about it, that is something. And that is the biggest thing, is just trying to get up every now and then and moving your body in some sort of way is so healthy for it.
Yeah. I think, you know, we tend to do, we try in the better weather. It's harder here in New England. in the winter, not because of that it's cold, but because it gets dark at like 4:30. It's so annoying. But we do try to walk after dinner. That actually was one of the biggest things that when everything kind of shut down in the last few years, like that was one of the biggest things that we instituted that stuck, and it is really staying. And my husband and I like to go out after dinner. It's really great for your digestion. It's great for your like mental health, and the connection, you know, we go and chit chat or whatever is really great. So that's the biggest thing that we've done probably.
Yeah, that's great. We started that, and then for some reason, we'll just get back to it another time, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like anything. Things have seasons too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I'm trying to think of like what like I said, I used to be a runner, you know, I was never like an uber great runner or anything. I just picked it up one day and I just kind of did it for a while. And I did some, you know, all the way up to half marathons. Mm-hmm. And I just realized at some point I was doing it because I thought it was good for me instead of doing it because I liked doing it. So finding something that you just like doing is key, you know, and there are a million ways to move your body.
So, yeah.
And I find that outside counts, you know what I mean?
Seriously. Yeah. It's like the littlest, because I used to be a power lifter. And so that was my thing is like after having kids and getting out of the gym for a while, I felt silly with like the 5 and 10 pound dumbbells. Cause I was like, people are watching, but I realized that like I was a power lifter because it looked cool. That's really the only reason why. it was cool to have a girl in there with other guys and like lifting heavy stuff. Now, do I still like lifting heavy? Yes, obviously. But that was a big part of it. So that's why it was so hard for me to pick up the 5 and 10 pound or body weighted exercises. Yeah. And so I'm finally finding that rhythm of like working out with just your body is actually quite a bit and can actually make you sore.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, that's where I'm at now.
That's awesome. Yeah. And so let's talk about food. So food is one of those things that's like, it can be really tricky. It can be really triggering for some people, depending on lots of different things. So what we want to talk about here today and thinking about this checklist that you've created is ways to just ramp up your health a notch or two without, you know, measuring everything you eat necessarily or like throwing out everything in your pantry or, you know, whatever. So one of the ways that I do this with my kids is I sneak green things into everything I can. You know, I, for instance, keep a bag of frozen like chopped spinach in my freezer. I put it in every soup, even like taco meat I put in there. Like
me too.
Sometimes I chop carrots really small and put that in the taco meat because no one knows.
Wow. I haven't done that one.
I'm getting all kinds of things because I have one kid that doesn't like to eat very many vegetables. And so it's always a battle. That I don't feel like having. So I just sneak it in and I just call it a day, you know? Or sometimes I like to take a green supplement personally. So, that mixes in water, and that same kid that doesn't like to eat vegetables really likes smoothies though. So I can drop greens powder in smoothies and then he's getting like 22 organic fruits and vegetables. And I feel like I'm winning the lottery. How about you?
Almost the exact same. Yes. I think I've had people comment on like how often I'm hiding things into it. Mostly protein, I find. Like I put it sometimes in our eggs.
Yep.
Any kind of ground meat ever, definitely soups and smoothies. Yeah, anytime that we can sneak that in and not have to deal with like the whole vegetable battle, I am for it.
That's awesome.
And then also earlier this summer, no, I think it was 2 summers ago, I started making my own salad dressing.
Oh yeah.
Now at the time, I was dairy-free, so I never really hit, like, a good ranch recipe. We still buy ranch. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm weird about ranch. But, like,
it's hard to replicate. Yeah.
Yes, yes. But Italian dressing is so easy. It literally takes 5 minutes. Like, I was so impressed with how fast you can make it. And you can make it, like, taste all kinds of different ways with different herbs and different things. And so that was kind of our way to get rid of at least a couple of inflammatory oils is to just make your own and put a few ingredients in it, and it tastes great.
Yeah, we actually did the same. That's one of those things that I have pretty much eliminated from our household, except your, like you said, ranch. Nobody, and the people, I don't even eat ranch, and because I've been dairy free for a long time. But like my husband and my son love it, and they buy like the worst one ever.
It's good old, like, Hidden Valley.
All the toxins in this thing. And I'm just like, you know what? I have to just let that go because they eat so little of it. It's such an infrequent food. Right. I'm like, it's fine. Whereas me of 10 years ago, I would, you know, I was on this like tirade about like, this is terrible for you. You know, we shouldn't be doing this.
Don't even look at it.
Yeah. We're like letting that go now.
We've come a long way.
Yeah. We're letting that go now and we're just replacing what we can. But yeah, we also do our own salad dressings. And I, you know, one of the other things that I use for salad dressings is hummus. And I will, if it's a little thick, you can thin it out with a little bit of water. I tend to like it kind of thick because it grabs the salad and then just toss that around. I do that when I go to work quite a bit. And if you buy a really clean hummus, I like the Ithaca brand. All the ingredients in there are recognizable. There's no preservatives. It's, you know, pretty clean. And then I can make my own hummus, of course, but why do that if I can get this one and it's clean? So, I use that sometimes as well.
Yeah. I like it. That's great. I think our biggest thing right now, especially if you're a busy working mom like we are, one thing that I had to let go recently was to have as much home cooked meals as possible. And not saying like we go out to eat more. Well, we're working on that too. We've been in a weird season, but I had made it a goal to like make my own bread and make everything from scratch. And so I was spending a whole day to prepare these foods that my toddler didn't like. And then my husband would eat twice and then we'd throw away the leftovers.
Yeah.
And so what I've been doing is these Kevin's meals. Kevin's meals are like our new favorite thing.
Oh, I don't know.
I swear there hasn't, they're like our savior right now. There's not been a single recipe of theirs that we don't like. And they're completely clean. Like they are
awesome.
Straight to the point. And so that's what we've been doing lately of just like, it took me 5 minutes to make dinner last night. It was a healthy dinner. There was like cauliflower pasta, beef stroganoff. Ooh, it was so delicious. Fun. Yeah. And my toddler didn't eat it. So it was fine because I only spent 5 minutes making it, you know, but it was less. So all that to say, there are convenient ways to feed your family too that take 5 minutes and still you can be ingredient conscious and all the things.
Yeah, I think I don't tend to eat out a ton, but like I was saying to you before we started recording this week, I have, and it's like hospital cafeteria food. I just can't, it's like the worst. And so I feel it this week, right? So it's nice that we're recording this today because it's reminding me to like go back and focus on these simple, easy changes that will get me back to sort of myself, you know?
Yeah.
We would be remiss without reminding you that, you know, water can be really tricky. You can have very junky water depending on where you live and what you're buying. And oftentimes the bottled water that you're buying in the store, is just tap water that they're just putting in a bottle. So do some research. If you want more information about that, you can reach out to Veronica or I. We don't want to go crazy on water, but just know that like water can be a little tough. In our area, we have very hard water. So I had to filter the entire house because it was like ruining all the plumbing. But I also have a filter like at my tap in the kitchen. So we can fill out of this filter at the tap. But there's lots of options out there for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We use a little water dispenser. We go fill up the waters every couple of weeks and have a little hot, cold dispenser that we use. So,
oh, nice.
There's nice options.
Nice. And the last kind of thing that we wanted to, kind of talk about today was your mental health. Like, don't forget your mental health. It's one of the things that, you know, I think we were talking about earlier about the leaving your shoes off. That kind of filters into this mental health as well. You know, when you take your shoes off and sort of transition into the home, thinking about things that relax you. We've talked a lot about stress reduction on this show and just thinking about ways that you can dial yourself down. You know, that's different for everyone. For me, it's music. It's movement outside. Movement inside is not the same for me. So just getting to know yourself a bit can be really helpful. If you're a writer, maybe it's journaling. That like stresses me out and I feel terrible when I do it. So even though I know it's supposed to be very good and I recommend it to people, because it is great for some people, but for me, it's like, I get very bogged down in like, am I writing the right thing? And that kind of is not the point. So yeah. So just getting to know yourself, I think is a really important point. And something that dovetails into the the things that you included on your list. What's your number one for mental health?
I feel like if you had asked me this even a few months ago, I would have had such a different answer. And I think it's just kind of like you said, checking in with yourself. I remember, I feel like I would almost like how you felt about journaling is how I felt about mental health in general. Of like,
okay,
I have to have a rigid breathwork routine, or I have to have a rigid meditation, or I have to listen to specific things in the car on the way to work. And now I'm just kind of like, what do I want today? Like, what does my mental health need today? Sometimes I drive in the car completely silent and that's what I need. Sometimes I need to listen to a podcast. Sometimes I need to listen to like raunchy music. Like it just kind of depends.
Yeah.
And so I think that is what that's hard to do when you get started, right? Like it's hard to know what you need and how to meet those needs. And so maybe depending on where you're at, if you're good at that, that's great. But after you've kind of built this list of tools, and I've given you a couple in the checklist and there's tons more than that. But then kind of always being able to pull from them and just be like, this is what I need today. And this is okay.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things I teach clients the most. And I think you do as well, is like in all aspects of your life, having a toolbox that you can pull from is the most impactful way to be consistent with any habit, because what works for you today may not work for you tomorrow, but it may work for you 3 days from now. So you need to be able to kind of cycle through the things that work for you in, you know, this day, this season, or whatever, you know, is happening for you. So that's awesome.
And I think the cool part about being coaches ourselves, both of us, is that not only do we get to show you what some tools are and some, like, you know, like I said, the toolbox that you have to pull from, but it's also like, if you don't know what the project is you're working on, you're not going to know what tool to grab. And so that's kind of like what a coach does, is it kind of shines light on, you know, what do you need and why do you need that? And kind of diving into that more self-awareness so that you can, you know, it's not like a whole, like what, like a whole thought process of like, what do I need? You can do it pretty quickly once you know not only what tools you have, but also what needs you have and how to like make those two come together a little bit quicker.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. And so we will share, just to kind of circle up and kind of come to a close here, we'll share Veronica's list that she has created in the Facebook group. So if you are not in our community, go join us over there. There will be a link to get the list. You can always email us. If you can't find something, just send us a message, either one of us. And there's also some lists, some links to other things that we just love that we share in there. I have a friend who makes a low-tox database of just like over a thousand products that are she vets for all the junk you don't want in your life. So I have shared the link for that, I believe, in the group. And Veronica, I know you are connected with a company that does skincare. So do you want to speak to that briefly?
Yeah. So I do work with Hugh and Grace, and we just focus on hormone safe health. And so the skincare that we use is in glass bottles, which I love because it kind of reduces some of your plastic. And it really focuses on simplifying your routine, but also making it as healthy as possible. So that information can be found in the Facebook group as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, this was great. So I hope you guys liked what we had for you today. Take a moment to reflect. There is a space for that in Veronica's checklist. There's a space at the end to think about what works for you, what we spoke about today that might take you a little bit closer to your goals, and thinking about how it would make you feel and why you want to do it in the first place, that will just help to solidify these consistent habits. And we look forward to hearing more from you guys in the community.
Yeah. Share your reflection in the community if you feel brave.
Yeah, that's awesome. So before we go, let's talk about our question of the day, which I still don't know the answer that I'm going to give, even though I wrote this question. No, it's question of the day is, which animal am I more like? Okay. A koala, B, an armadillo, or C, a fruit bat. Do you want me to go first while you think?
Yes. I don't think I know.
So I was thinking, what are the qualities of these that would even be something that I would relate to? I don't even know. But you, truth be told, I feel like I'm probably a little bit of B, which is not what I would like to say. I would like to say I'm a koala because I love them. I've been obsessed with koalas since I was a little kid. But I think I'm a little bit more like an armadillo in the fact that I kind of come off a little like harsh on the outside, but I'm kind of a softy inside. But I just, you know, I keep up a good front. I keep up a good front.
That is hilarious because I almost was going to give that exact same answer, but for a little bit of a different reason. I literally went from, I was like, I really wish I was a koala.
Yeah, totally.
I feel like maybe I look like a koala sometimes, but I'm definitely more of an armadillo. I'm pretty spicy. And I feel like I have like, this is what my healing journey constantly is like this armor on the outside that I'm constantly trying to like shift around. So
yeah, yeah.
I think it's crazy that we have the exact same answer, but like
that's a little
bit different perspective. So
I saw my first armadillo in the wild a few years ago, and I was like, "What is this thing?" It was like scurrying around in the bushes. We were out for a hike. It's hilarious.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I love awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you for listening to this episode. We hope it was so, so helpful. Stay tuned for next week's episode where we talk about discipline, motivation, or productivity, and what your goal should be this year.
Awesome. Well, Mama, that wraps up our episode for today. Thank you so much for being here with us again this week. Before you go, please make sure you hit that follow button so you get notified of all the new episodes that are coming up. And head on over to the Thriving Mompreneurs Facebook community and join us there.
In our thriving community, you will be connected with other business and family-minded mamas looking to feel fulfilled and energized within their lives, and you will be able to start implementing some of the tools we talked about right here on this podcast with some amazing accountability. All right, Mama, we will see you at the same time, same place next week, and remember, you were made to thrive. See you next time.